Pass is intercepted by Vanderbilt from the 30 to the 20 to the 10 to the 5, and it's a touchdown for Vanderbilt. Long pass down the center of the field is caught by Humphreys at the 5. He's in for a touchdown. 16-0 Vanderbilt.
Hold on, wait a minute.
It's returnable. Jesus at the 3 to the 5 to the 10. Left turn 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 to the 40. Oh my goodness. Now down to the 10. Jet Thomas to the 5. Touchdown. And the Rebels are on the scoreboard. On a read option, here's Maeva to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown, Rebels! Jaden Maeva brings it in, and the Rebels surge ahead 29-17. The snap, the spot, the kick is on the way, and the kick is good! The Rebels, with 5 seconds left, have retaken the lead 40-37 over Vanderbilt. Oh, baby!
From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Monday. One of the many really good football games this weekend. We'll get into UNLV here in just a couple seconds. A win over Vanderbilt. Raiders, not so hot. We'll cover that just a little bit. Frankly, I don't know that they deserve the coverage. That was not a good effort at all after a strong start, and then they just fell apart. And a lot of us thought, hey, buzzsaw time with the Bills coming off a terrible loss against the Jets, and the Bills delivered. Lots of other NFL angles to get into. Listen, give them credit. Deion Sanders continues with Colorado to stay on the top of the headlines, so we're going to hit that a couple of different times. So a lot to get to. John Von Tobel is the company today. Damon is here as well. That was a good football weekend.
Oh, dude, this week. And you know, the NFL is going to be the NFL. But on the surface, and as somebody who does a lot of college football coverage for us over at VSiN, you're looking at the schedule on Saturday for college, you're like, ugh. All right. Like, UNLV-Vandy was one of the highlight games because it was a tight point spread, and, you know, at least out here, there were some obviously narrative ties. Turned out to be freaking fantastic. Whole bunch of big favorites failing to cover, scuffling along, storylines. From 9 a.m. until 11 o'clock at night, I was watching football on Saturday, and then you get the NFL. It was crazy.
I was betting late night. I took Colorado plus 5.5 down 28-20, and I tried to get a cover out of Kansas minus 7.5, but I couldn't get the extra score in.
Thought you laid 28.
But the Wolfpack played hard, and that's something we'll get into in the 4 o'clock hour. So how big do you think this win was for UNLV over Vanderbilt?
I'm willing to be called prisoner of the moment because I was racking my brain. So you tell me if you find a better one. I'll stress, in recent memory, I think this is the best win for this program in recent memory. I cannot really think of one that was better for them, only because of what they dealt with in that first half. You know, when there's a point where you don't have Doug Brumfield, you don't have Jackson Woodard, and you're kind of looking around, you're going, oh boy, here it goes.
17-0.
Yep, 17-0, and you're like, wow, this is it. This is not what we expected. And look, like, as somebody who came in and thought they were going to be very live in that game and to cover a big number, at least for a team that's at home, I was like, wow, like, this is somewhat disheartening that they go down that quickly. And now you're down arguably your two better players on both sides of the ball. And then to fight back from that, to fight back at the end of that game from what looked to be a back-breaking interception from your redshirt freshman quarterback, right? And Jaden Maeva was, I thought, really good. But all of those moments to eventually come away victorious, you know, that is, I think, again, I'll go back to it, I think that is the best win that I have seen this program have in a very long time.
I'll look back.
Yeah, and that's one of those.
The Arroyo era is a little bit tough because the biggest problem with the Arroyo era was that they were 1-10 in one score games. Right. So all the chances that you had for big wins, it just didn't happen. And this was another one of those games. If you go back the last couple of years, maybe this is a game that they don't win. And that's why it's Vandy. They're not the best program in the SEC. Far from it. They're a flawed team. But you were up against it so many times. And to get a win out of this when you have a team that has gone through 2 years, a lot of the guys are still around, 2 years of just never winning close games, that's why it's also big.
For a brief moment, when Doug goes down and they're down 17-0, it reminded me of going on that trip to San Jose last year where – you know what I mean? It's a game where you go in there, you're feeling like, hey, man, you're going to be competitive. It's going to be okay. Like, this is one maybe you can fight. If you lose it, that's fine, but you should be tight back and forth. Doug goes down, you get run out, and you're like, oh, man, like, this is going to be a problem. And it looked like just for a brief moment, that's what this game was going to be. And they came back from it. That was really, really solid effort on their part.
Tons of flaws in the game, though.
Yes.
And Barry Odom addressed it this morning He came out, you know, had a couple of good things to say, but he went right to, on defense, we have got to shore up our pass defense on deep shots. Mm-hmm. They allowed touchdowns of 37, 56, and 36. And they do have some injury issues. I'll get you updated on that in the 3 o'clock hour. They got some injury issues back at the cornerback spot. So they've got to fix this pretty soon because here's what's in front of them. And I don't want to, like, put the jinx on them or spoil it, but this is why this win was so big. You feel good that you came back. You feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that you have depth at quarterback, which we'll address. The next four games, at UTEP, Hawaii at home, at Nevada, home Colorado State. They favored in all four or three?
I would say three.
CSU could be
iffy.
Depending on how both teams look the next couple weeks?
Yep. Oh, this is, I mean, we talked about this out at the Rampart on Wednesday. This is why this Vandy game was so important.
Mm-hmm.
It is a winnable game, and then you enter a stretch on your schedule where the good teams rip off these wins. The good teams go on these runs when this schedule opens up like this.
Mm-hmm.
These are winnable games. These are games in which you're going to be favored. The Circa, who opens up the openers for college football, they're first to market for the entire schedule, opened up UNLV as a 6-point favorite against UTEP.
I thought it was four. Week. The screenshot they sent out. Of their board, I only had them at four.
No.
So it went like that, down to four.
Immediately. So, yeah, it opened six, immediately went down to four. But that they thought highly of what UNLV was going to be in that spot. And here's the other part about why this schedule matters, too. UTEP has stunk. UTEP has looked awful throughout this portion of their early schedule. They lose a close one to Jacksonville State. It's a 2-score game that they beat Incarnate Word by. And then they end up losing comfortably both to, I think it was Northwestern Arizona. So UTEP has not looked good up to this point. This is a winnable opportunity. And then, of course, we know about what these conference opponents are going to be. So it's a big step. Like, you get this win. Now let's see if you're graduating as a program and improving and taking advantage of the opportunities you're given.
These are moments that have challenged UNLV in the past. You mentioned the San Jose State game last year when Brumfield went down. They didn't react well in the game. And overall, at 4-1 at that point, they didn't deal well with Prosperity. They got a little bit of Prosperity here now. Do you keep your foot on the gas pedal? I think they will, and I think Odom made it clear. Odom actually said, he's like, I can't afford to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, the coaches here, they're into this. The players will follow the coaches here. They know the urgency. Where'd you watch the games yesterday, on Sunday?
On Sunday, I was at the D.
Okay.
Just hanging out. We have a little set down there, a big table, so
right.
Take advantage.
I watched at home. I took advantage of the package. We went out for a little bit to a local bar to watch the second halves of the second half of the day. That bar was very tame. The only time I got froggy all day was the SO is a Chargers fan when the Chargers fell behind in whenever the hell it was, the third,
mm-hmm.
right? Or was it early fourth? I had three TVs set up. Right? And I was told the TV with the sound, Chargers are getting off that one. She was like, take it off, put it up in the corner, no sound.
Okay.
I'm like, well, I kind of wanted to listen to the game, but house rules. So she was not happy. She saw what was coming and she's like, don't want to hear the sound. So that's the only time I got testy. It's the only time I got testy.
I did have a testy moment.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I got yelled at by a Fremont Street performer.
You
yes,
did?
Yes, I did.
Was it Mega Boob Lady?
No, it was no? some guy was.
Was it Naked Sack Guy out?
No,
guy?
The I guy walk... with the,
whatever he wears. I have names for all of them.
Yep.
That guy's
down there a lot.
He works a lot.
Yep. No, it was like some guy. He was performing magic. It seemed, but so like it was one of those where I'm walking and I'm looking around at like everything, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like so everything's kind of catching my eyes. I'm walking down to the D. It's so, like he catches my eye for a brief second, but then I realize, oh, there's a FanDuel book over there. Like I wanted to go look at it because I haven't been to the branded book yet.
Sure.
So like in the brief moment that I looked at him, we had made eye contact, and it was one of those where I kind of noticed he's about to do something, but like whatever, I'm walking. There's a lot of people, and after I look away, I just hear, "Hey, buddy, it's just comedy and magic." And I was like, and I stopped for a second, and I like kind of turn around. I'm like, are you talking to me? And I kind of got irritated because I was like, I'm just walking here, man. And he's just like, no, get out of here. And like he screamed at me. I was amazed.
Okay. I would say retaliate, but he might stab you. No,
I wanted to, kind of.
But you should have. When was this? What time? What
it was Sunday at like like 12 o'clock.
So you're like ending the early games.
Yeah, so I had just gotten off the Air VSiN, and usually what I do is I walk from Circa, where we broadcast, down to the Dito or other set, because we have a set there to sit there and watch games. So like I'm walking, you know, I got my backpack, and I'm working too, technically, so I don't want to start getting into a fight with a street magician as I'm walking from like essentially job to job.
Does he know what day it is?
Like, well, that's the other thing.
Because honestly, what if you turn around and you're like, what do you say? What about magic?
It's just comedy and magic.
What if you turn around and you're like, the Lions didn't cover!
Yeah, right.
I just lost!
Well,
then the stabbing would have begun. Yes. You better bring your knife and
that's why
slice time.
I had to take a
but I would not yell at anyone on Fremont on a football Sunday as games are ending or games are going the wrong way. Like, bruh.
I don't want to get it.
I'll take that freaking bowling pin and stuff it up your you-know-what.
I don't want to derail us, but they're getting aggressive, man. The other day when I was also walking to the D, there was like a group of breakdancers down there, and one guy stops the show and starts yelling at people on the mic. And it's like, we don't have to be here. You know, you guys are walking through a thing like, no, you don't have to be here. Yeah. And nobody cares.
By the way, there's a little circle that is basically fit for two people.
Yes, and they took the whole area.
Right, you're blocking everyone.
Yeah, I was like, what do you mean we don't have to be here? Right. This is like the weirdest way to get money from these people. Scream at them and get mad at them.
By the way, both of us had a really good football weekend, but we're like ready at any moment to be like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the street performers, some of them.
Just don't get aggressive with me.
They've got quite a history, too. Some real dirtbags down there. I know there's people working hard for their money. Yeah, but none of that compares to what goes on at these NFL games.
No.
That was a long segue.
It was.
Which fight did you send over? Was this Texans?
No, this was – I actually didn't see the Texans.
There's someone on the concourse. You know, Texans are having a rough time, and it's Texan fan v. Texan fan. Like three different pairs of people just wailing at each other.
I don't
get it.
I kind of like – look, I don't get stadium fights in general, okay? But I at the very least get it when it's like guys in opposing jerseys fighting one another. I never understand if you're rooting for the same interests.
Understand people versus street performers. So we're apparently very into that one. But fan be fan, what are you doing?
No, I sent over and watched the Cowboys-Jets one, where it's just two overweight men, one in the Cowboys jersey, one in the Jets jersey, just rolling around in the concourse with each other fighting.
Yeah, I don't know how a Jets fan has any spirit left to fight.
What are you talking about? No, don't walk around like a loser.
Yeah, well, we'll have to.
That's right.
He was there, our friend from WFN in New York, Brandon Tierney, who was screaming last week about not giving up. Nah, he's not that fat. He's not fat at all. He's actually a big guy. I wouldn't mess with him. But yeah, the fights at the games are intolerable.
Oh, that's why I sat there. I had a drink at a big table, watched all the games.
I was so comfortable all day yesterday at home, at the local bar that was empty, had the package, anything you wanted. They changed the TVs, good picture specials. It was good.
Yep. No need. Again, every time I watch these, my opinion is solidified. I've never been to an NFL game, and I don't think I ever need to go to one.
All right, Damon. What happened to your Raiders?
You mean my Raiders?
You're the biggest Raiders guy on the show.
Well, that is true.
You are a true local.
Yeah. You talking about you've never been to an NFL game? When they beat the Chargers to solidify their spot in the playoffs, magic. Yeah. Should have been there. But yesterday.
Was that Sunday night game?
Yeah. Magical. But yeah, yesterday they went up to Buffalo. I thought they had a chance. I mean, that first quarter looked like they had a chance.
They did.
Then the wheels fell off.
Yep. Poor Josh Jacobs.
-2 yards.
And just no room.
Dude. It was wild. Well,
they couldn't really establish the run game because they fell behind so quickly. Josh Allen actually made some good decisions.
How about this?
You knew it was going to be rough. By the way, what were your big bets on Sunday?
What do you mean?
In terms of what you play?
Oh, let's see. Sunday was – I had the Packers.
So you got it?
Nope, I didn't.
Wait, how?
Because I played it early in the week at Packers. Oh,
yeah, come on.
Yep, Packers -1.
You got a -1, not the +3?
No, not the +3.
Did you think about backing it up?
No, because I just –
What's your philosophy on that?
I'm in. There's no need. I'm in.
And you're in -1, but +3 is a big difference.
Sure, but if I'm wrong, then I'm going to double down at what? Then I'm going to get screwed over, so nah. I felt confident
in one.
That's
a killer.
Yes, so that stunk, because it looked like they were going to get it, actually. Yep. I thought I was going to get in on a bad number.
Poor Packers with Bajan trying to defend him.
No, but that.
Bijan Robinson.
Well, I've heard so many, he's even said. The Bajan thing?
We played it last
week. Oh, yeah, that was right. Yeah, it was with you.
You're like, doing too many shows.
Yeah, I am. So that, there was a bunch of teasers that I had. I actually had to tie in. I tied in. So there was a good early bet and a bad early bet. The good early bet was I had teased the Colts up to +7.5 when they were initially favored, and then it swung back to the Texans, and then or whatever. Either way, I had like a 7.5 on both Houston and Indianapolis. Only one side got there, so I still got a teaser alive. What else? Buccaneers minus 2.5. That got there. Thank you, Justin Fields. Yeah, it was a solid day. It was a good day.
I did not have a good college football day. And then NFL, I went Bills early. And I told you guys on the air, well, you weren't here on Friday. I told Damon on Friday that I would bet against the Texans with the Colts if C.J. Stroud was playing. So I got it. C.J. Stroud played. So there you go. And then I lost a couple. I have to look back and see what I lost. But I did get, when the Niners were down, I got the Niners plus 1.5 in game. So that worked out.
Can I tell you my favorite Josh Jacobs stat from yesterday? So he had, what, 9 attempts for a negative 2 yards?
Mm-hmm.
He averaged 1.3 yards after contact.
That is telling.
Think about that.
My God, how far back were they getting him?
Isn't that incredible? That's negative 2 yards, and he had a positive yards after contact average.
We should get a.
I feel good about my top 5 bet.
Oh, yeah.
We should get Dubow on that one. Josh Dubow from AP.
He loves those
always
things,
had the,
yeah.
The crazy Raider stats. Like, that's got to be. I wonder if that's an NFL record.
Yeah, should I just DM him?
I can send something to
he'll
him.
Use it.
We'll get the info before the end of the show. He'll crank up his Commodore 64 and get it going.
That's an incredible number.
It's nuts.
It was not very good. And you're funny. So one of my managers over at VCN, he's a big Raiders fan. And so I saw him right before I went on the air. And this is not a bet that I made, but I feel so smart. You know what I told him? I go, I got a feeling about your Raiders today. He's like, is it a good one or bad? I was like, I got a good one. And then they go out, and the first, you're like, bing, bang, boom. I'm like, all right, this is great. Yeah, that was bad. My feeling was not accurate.
All right, what do we got right now for Steelers and Raiders? Raiders, Steelers next week. I saw Steelers won earlier. I'm seeing pick at one spot. Where are we here?
Let's see. My screen is not loading. I'll have to tell you in 2 seconds.
Well, in the meantime, while you look, remember today, so we're on early, 2 to 5. We get out of the way at 5 o'clock for the national feed. There's actually two national feeds today because the first Monday night game, there's two of them. One goes at 4:15 with the Saints and the Panthers. The Panthers are getting 3 in that one. Steelers are getting 2 against the Browns. Browns in Pittsburgh.
Pick or Steelers minus 1 with a total of 44. Makes sense.
Okay. All right, well, let's get into the Saints and the Panthers on the way back. Browns and Steelers. The rest of the NFL slate. A lot more UNLV stuff, including some press conference sound today from Barry Odom. That'll be after 3 o'clock.
Back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota Studio.
Were you surprised the Rams hung with the Niners as well as they did?
No. Only because, so I had a theory coming into this year that the Rams at the beginning of the year, there were two teams. It was the Rams and the Bucks that I thought were actually going to be better at the beginning of the year before the season carried along. Because I thought the problem with those teams was lack of depth at key positions. And then as the attrition of an NFL season wore into a roster, then that's when you started to see those teams start to fall off. So that's kind of what my thought was. I thought the Rams are going to be somewhat competitive and a little bit better than people thought they were going to be early on. I don't think they're going to be able to maintain this unless, I don't know, Puka Nacua is going to be like the second coming of Jerry Rice. But
well, that was nuts. They like took over the game, the broadcast. I'm like, all right, we get it. But they're losing.
Right.
What does he have now in the season?
I have the double check.
12 in game one, and then yesterday he logged, 15? So he's got 27 catches in 2 games.
Yeah.
I think the record, and the reason I know this is because they kept pounding it. I think the record for first 2 games of a career was Earl Cooper in, 89.
It's ridiculous.
For the Niners. Once Kupp comes back, why can't they keep it going? I mean, I don't know if their run game is going to be very good, especially if Cam Akers cannot be relied upon, which we'll get to in a second. But, 2-2 Atwell started to break out a little bit. I mean, Stafford's got to stay upright.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, so it was. That's why I thought it was weird. You know, they were like the 4th-ish choice to have the worst record in the NFL betting-wise. And something I didn't understand was, you know, Matthew Stafford last year, the problem was injury. It wasn't severe decline in play. The guy was hurt. And so if he's going to be relatively healthy and you have a quarterback at that level and an offensive mind like Sean McVay, you know, your baseline of play, especially on offense, is going to be somewhat okay. So I was really surprised because Stafford still has plenty to offer. Now, he did throw 2 interceptions and didn't really look perfect, but he still gives you something that some of the other teams don't really have. So I was somewhat surprised by the rush for a lot of people to go, no. they're going to be in competition for the worst record in the NFL. Like, I get it. They have their first-round pick this year. There's motivation to have that first overall pick, but it's still a team with their three core pieces being, you know, long-in-the-tooth veterans who don't want that.
I mentioned Akers. Mysteriously doesn't play.
Yep.
And then the response was, I guess he didn't have – he had a couple of bad days of practice.
Yeah.
And then Akers tweets out after the game or during the game, I don't know why I'm not playing. Feeling good, though. This is a problem they have to fix.
Yes.
Or just move on.
I think you just move on. Clearly, there's something here. Right. Clearly, something happened. I have my conspiracy theories as to another situation in college football that we'll talk about later. And I think this is kind of something similar. You're not active for no reason. There's a lot of negatives in there. But you know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like, you're not – there's no reason – coaches just don't go – you know what, Cam Akers, he's been solid. He's been an upstanding Los Angeles Ram. Deactivate him. No, there's a reason as to why. So I would think, especially when you're vocal about the confusion on your part and trying to make the team look bad, it probably has something to do with that. I would assume he's gone.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport said that Akers, quote, had a tough week of practice. Right. So Kyron Williams, out of Notre Dame, second year player, was in there, if there's any position you can find some people who are not playing right now, or you know, on your practice squad or wherever, you can find a running back.
Yes,
there are running backs who emerge out of nowhere, and they need to balance the offense with the run, but they're really not a running team.
That's also,
they can whip it around the yard.
No, it will look a lot of I'm not like Adam Hill. I don't watch the all 22 all the time. When you watch and read about Sean McVay's offense, though. A lot of it does have to do with play action and misdirection and all that sort of stuff. You can get a running back to do what you need to do in a system like that. That's why I'm kind of surprised, too, is we've just had this conversation all summer about running backs. You know, I'm reading articles about seven potential suitors for Cam Akers. I mean, are you calling them up and being like, here's a seventh, man? Like, what is that conversation like? Jonathan Taylor, the Colts couldn't get an adequate suitor. What's Cam Akers going
to
get you?
It was 30-20. With less than 2 minutes left, check that, with 4 seconds left. I mean, I guess there's a scintilla of a chance of a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Good word.
McVay kicks a field goal, 30-23, and then you sent this over. This is embarrassing. Let's see, tweet, I don't believe for one single second that McVay didn't know the point spread yesterday. That's from Jimmy Traina, who's with SI, he's a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Moss, zero chance McVay pays attention to the point spread, right? Okay, so he's making the suggestion that something's going on there. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah,
right.
I think
sneaky
so.
Way to do it. Vic Tafer, our buddy, he's not on today. We banned him. I'm kidding. We didn't give him a call. But he sent out. So Sean McVay knew the point spread, and then Joe Fortenbaugh. Come on, Joe. You're doing national radio. He's kind of like carved himself into this gambling expert. McVay knows the point spread.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Booster Club. You got this. Well, first of all, you didn't cobble all these together, did you?
No, I just put in McVay point spread, and this is all that popped up on the top.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
This annoys you?
It does. It absolutely annoys me because here's the thing. It ignores a very simple thing here. Go down the list of tiebreakers when it comes to winning the division. You know what one of the tiebreakers is? Points scored in division games. So do you think that when you have 3 seconds left in a game with no hope of winning – do you go for a touchdown that you're probably not going to get? Or do you try to tack on three so you can add it to the point total in your divisional games in case it comes down to a tiebreaker?
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, we'll have an update on Packers and Bears. They didn't play each other, but we got the bet on the show with who's going to have a better year, Jordan Love or Justin Fields? That was interesting yesterday. All right, what are we doing for Monday Night Football? I don't mean where are we going, but we know we have the second game right here at ESPN Las Vegas. Our ex is playing tonight in the – what?
Oh.
Derek Carr.
I get it now, yeah.
Yeah, we upgraded.
Yeah.
Maybe not in quarterback ability, but looks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we upgraded based on how Jimmy G had played last week, but it didn't work out for him this week.
I mean,
he didn't have a fighting chance.
Not a massive bar to pass over in terms of upgrading quarterback play from last year for this team.
Carr didn't play that well.
No.
Yeah, if he was, I'd be nice if I was saying he was like the 17th best quarterback last year, so Jimmy G can be 14th this year. It's an improvement. Not a whole lot. Saints-Panthers. Lane 3, Saints. What do you do? Division game.
Took 3.
You took it?
Yep.
Why?
Well, first, I think that if you go back and you watch the Panthers loss to the Atlanta Falcons, I actually thought Bryce Young did not play that poorly. Now, he had 2 terrible interceptions to Jesse Bates where they were on the same throw. He tried to look Bates off on the second one, and Bates was like, no, dude, you made this throw in like the first half. I'm going to sit right here and do the same thing. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened, and he picked him off for a second time. But if you actually watch the snaps in between, I thought Young played somewhat well. And so now, if you look at it from where we were for this point spread to where it was or to where it is now, it goes from pick Carolina -1 to swing into New Orleans -3 on the road. I don't think that that is an upgrade that should happen. I mean, I don't know about you guys. And I was not wowed by the New Orleans Saints and their win over the Tennessee Titans, which, by the way, when Mike Vrabel knew the point spread and kicked a field goal to go from down 4 to down 1, that was week 1.
Which was a bad move.
That was
because he gave the ball back to the Saints and couldn't get it back.
Never got it back.
It was a bad decision. All right. I know you're keeping an eye on the X.
Oh, of course.
As the biggest Raiders fan.
What happens tonight?
On the show.
They win. What are we talking about?
Saints win.
Who's they?
The Saints, excuse me.
Okay.
All right. So do we have a show bet?
But yeah, I was going to say.
Action?
I'll take all day.
All day?
Well, hold on. Because there's a universe.
-3 or straight up?
What are we doing here? Because there's a universe in which they win, but I cover. So are you saying that you're laying 3?
I'll take the points. I don't care.
You're not taking the points.
Get the jargon.
I'll lay it. What is it? Lay?
Yes, you'll lay it.
I'll lay the 3.
Well, we got to school some. We really got to ramp up some sports betting stuff here. Because I told DeMond, I think on the air last week, I was like, listen, this show does picks every Friday. Like, you got to be ready to go. Rapid fire.
He's getting better.
And I was glad because at the end of the show, we were going through them fast. And then you actually pulled one of them and you're like, I don't have a play. I'm like, that's fine too. You don't have to make a pick.
I think it was like Colts. It was like that Colts-Texans game. I was like, dude, I'm not touching that.
Yeah, it's dreadful. I had an angle, but it's fine. I won.
Anthony Richardson, before he got concussed, looked like a Hall of Famer.
Well, we're gonna get to Anthony Richardson.
Dude, when they
by
were
the way, congrats to Shane Steichen.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
Looked good.
I like that. Former UNLV quarterback.
Gardner Minshew looks like a nerd in that big old helmet. Man, when the trainers were walking Anthony Richardson back, I was like, what a man. Just giant, 6'4", rippling with muscle. Hall of Fame quarterback.
And then Minshew Mania comes in with his skinny jeans and his hairy chest.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't see the giant helmet. What's going on there?
Oh, he's got like a new helmet, but he's got a small head, so he looks ridiculous.
Oh, really?
Yes, he looks absolutely ridiculous.
I think Nick Bosa had it on. There's a helmet that looks like it comes to like a V. It's not exactly a V in the front, but it looks longer in the front.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. I'll find a picture so I can show you.
Well, good. Maybe we can stop throwing flags on every freaking hit above the chest. Getting kind of tired of it. I'm not saying people are soft, and I want the players protected, but my God, the refs are just like sitting there shaking, ready to go with the flag anytime there's a hard tackle.
Every once in a while, the old man comes out with Steve.
Yes, it does.
Every once in a while.
Because it is annoying. All Sunday and Saturday, you're like, every play's targeting. It's 2 human bodies in motion. If I'm going down in a direction and the offensive player changes, like, I can't magically move when I'm already in motion.
Sounds sexual.
Whatever. Sounds like physics, which I did really poorly in high school, and I can't even verbalize it. But you get my point.
2 human bodies in motion, and I'm going down.
Obviously, we had too many penalties. I can't even speak about it. It's so ridiculous. And it's a real shame because a lot of those penalties took away a lot of great efforts from our kids. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Never seen such a lopsided game penalty-wise.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio on ESPN Las Vegas.
You know, it's interesting. You can watch a soundbite or listen to it and not hear something. And now I just heard something different there from Jay Norvell. I thought he was blaming his kids. He was actually complaining about the officiating.
Yes. So I'm glad you said that because you sent that over. It was part of a TikTok again.
Love TikTok.
I'm getting disturbed by the amount of TikToks you send over as part of show prep. Because I also wonder when you saw them because a vast majority of us spend our time on TikTok. We know where. The label was like blaming the kids. And I watched it for the first time. I'm like, he's clearly complaining about the officiating.
Ripping the refs.
They had 17 penalties for 182 yards.
Right, this has become a gigantic story. And Steve Kim is a great sports voice. Does some stuff with the Blaze and, of course, has his 3 Knockdown Rule podcast, a longtime voice of pugilism, fighting in general. What's up, Steve?
Gentlemen, good Monday to you. That was some high drama in Boulder, wasn't it? Well, that was great to see.
It was freaking awesome. John Von Tobel is here as well. And you know, I'm going to jump right into it because I think there's so many angles on this Coach Prime Deion Sanders thing. Your guy Jason Whitlock sent out the story on the Blaze today, and I love this so much. Coach Prime in Colorado or the new Coach K in Duke. He follows it up by saying privileged, entitled, hypocritical, and easy to dislike. What do you think?
I wonder what Kristen Laettner thinks and Bobby Hurley. But, you know, it's interesting. Me and Jason talked on Sunday morning because he nearly became Babe Ruth. He nearly called his shot. He took the money line in Colorado State, and he swore to me on Friday they're going to win the game. I thought he was nuts. But, look, here's the issue that Colorado has to understand with that persona of theirs now. They are marked men. They are the hunted. And I just got the sense that they don't understand. Every team wants to fight them. Yep. Every team really wants to beat them up, if not be able to beat them. And I thought for much of that game, Colorado State, to me, had the impetus. They were out there initiating contact. And sometimes beyond the play, beyond the whistle. And I love to see it because I just think that we've lost rivalries. We've lost the emotion of the sport because I don't know if the kids really care about winning and losing as much as they did, let's say, back in the 80s or 90s. And Colorado is now one of those programs that when you play them, you circle that name with the red pen, and you're out there to beat them and maybe to hurt them, believe it or not, because that's the game of football. It's very vicious and violent at times. And I don't know if Colorado was really prepared for the mentality of Colorado State.
Yeah, well, one, CSU is always the inferior, you know, the inferiority complex going in. Two, you're right. Last week when I was talking more about this kind of culture and the story that Colorado's putting out there, they are the Canes, and you're a big Miami fan. I freaking hated Miami back in the day.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I think that's insult to Miami. I'll tell you why. Miami loved to fight. These guys didn't want to fight. But what I thought, Colorado did not want to fight. I'm just telling you, at the beginning of the game, when Travis Hunter is prancing around, going, "They don't want that." Travis, you didn't want to fight.
Yep.
Keyshawn Johnson said something really interesting on Undisputed. He said, "Could you imagine if that would have happened to Miami?" No one ever took cheap shots at Miami. You know why? There would have been retribution.
Wasn't there?
I think Colorado, in certain respects, is a cheap imitation of Miami. They're not authentically as tough as the renegade army fatigue wearing guys. They're not. I think they're very flashy. They're very talented in spots. They're not the tough guys Miami was, and that's the difference. Teams wouldn't act that way to Miami. There would actually be a price to pay. See, I think the book is now out on Colorado. Get very, very physical with them.
I got to push back a little bit on that because if you have the end of the game be Tennessee and Florida, you got people clutching their pearls. But Henry Blackburn, what he did, he's public enemy number one on some parts of Black Twitter. I thought that he should have been ejected from the game or maybe even a suspension now that we know that Travis Hunter is going to be out for three games.
Yeah, and I think Shadur should be penalized for trying to poke a guy's eye out. It is what it is.
Slippery slope, my friend. Come on.
I mean, we really want to go there? I mean, what if he knocks a guy's eyeball out? What if a guy's blinded? That's terrible.
Well, now we're speaking of the theoretical and what actually happened. What we saw was
a cheap shot. But Shadur did try to poke a guy's eye out, though.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a cheap shot. I thought it was a bang-bang play. And
bang-bang! The ball's already out of bounds!
Again, going back to what I just talked about 5 minutes ago, we're flagging everyone when they're in motion and they cannot change where their body's going. If you're going in for a hit, you're going in for a hit. And yes, I will add the extra vibe on it is Travis Hunter was talking a lot of trash. Let's go. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. Steve, I'm like, hey, you want to play offense? Your coach wants to talk trash. Everyone wants to talk trash. People are going to go after you.
When you create that vibe, and guys, I went to those games in the early 90s when Miami, I don't mean the 2000 Miamis that were good. I'm talking the 90s when they were notorious. I went to road games where there was a certain vibe and an atmosphere. Miami enjoyed it. They enjoyed being the black guy. They were. I went to some of their brawls at San Diego State. They had an unbelievable brawl in Boulder. They played Colorado in 93, a bench-clearing brawl. They enjoyed it. Colorado doesn't enjoy it. I don't think they signed up for it. They signed up for NIL. They signed up to go viral. They signed up to be on the television shows. They didn't sign up for all this stuff. And Colorado State, they're from the wrong side of the track. That's what they kind of were symbolically. And Jay Norvell, when he said, well, what he said was really not about Deion personally. I think what he talked about was the mentality and the philosophy and ideological battle that, hey, we're the kids that aren't recruited. We're the kind of the guys that you don't invite to dinner. And I found that whole thing to be fascinating, the way that game played out, and then the whole week.
Steve, how much of the dislike for Colorado stems from media coverage as well? And it's not just the popularity of it. You know, I was telling Steve, I don't know if anybody had noticed, but Mark Jones was on the call for the game, and he kept calling him Coach Prime to the point where he actually corrected himself at one point because he called him Coach Sanders and then walked it back and then called him Coach Prime. He talked about, hey, if you thought they were going to be dead, Coach Prime's not going to let them after a penalty which allowed Colorado to advance. Like, how much do you think, because I'm not one who really dislikes this whole thing, but I do sit back and go, I can kind of see why the media coverage would make this more annoying.
It would, but as someone who loves college football, I appreciate what's going on at Colorado. It's bringing more interest into the game. And Cofield, can we be honest, when was the last time we cared this much about a Colorado State-Colorado game where one team was a 23-point favorite? Coach Prime and Colorado have been the story of the first month of college football.
It's been great.
I think they've been great in a game that is losing tradition, fading rivalries, everything is so homogenized or pasteurized. It's almost looking like the NFL to a point where it's not as fun. Deion is bringing fun and interest. I actually think it's great. We need more personalities within the sport. And this game must have done huge ratings. The game with USC and Oregon the upcoming weeks will do very good ratings. But do I believe that there is a backlash because Prime is who he is? He's a very polarizing figure. Yeah, and he's a disruptor. But at the same time, I kind of like what he's bringing to the table because, let's face it, Steve, you look at that college football schedule last Saturday, there weren't a lot of primetime games. I thought it was one of the, I don't say worst weeks, but more desultory weeks on the schedule that we have. This Saturday, we have like 10 good games. Last Saturday, I was thinking, man, what are we going to remember here? Well, we got a memorable moment on Saturday night, I thought. And so just for that, but the over-the-top fawning where people, I believe, Steve, are afraid to actually express their true feelings about Colorado, yeah, I think some people probably are very, very perturbed by that.
Steve Kim is with us. His spot is presented by Snack Nutrition, S-N-A-C, snacknutrition.com. I want to switch to the NFL for a couple of stories. First of all, I didn't realize how many folks disliked Aaron Rodgers and were kind of happy about him going down with the injury based on his vax stance. I want to play this for you. This was McAfee and A-Rod last week. I think it was on Friday, and Rodgers goes after Keith Olbermann. Fire this.
Hold on, there's another guy. What's the guy? Keith Olbermann said that.
You love him, though.
Because you're not vaxxed, that's why it happened.
Yep.
Yeah, get your fifth booster, Keith.
All right, there you go. So there's been a lot of that out there. I forget who. Someone was sitting with me the other day. Actually, during the Rodgers game and the Rodgers injury, and I actually was saying, hey, what a jerk. I'm glad that happened.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, given the fact that you're speaking of being a polarizing figure. Aaron, with the way he handled his whole immunization while on the Packers the last year or two, in his stance, and look, there has been a shift in our culture or some sort of culture war as it related to the vax. It got very, very personal to the point of now becoming political, and people had lines drawn on where they stood on the issue, and Aaron was one of the very few athletes that was very, very open in saying, I'm not going to get it. Keith Olbermann has kind of gone nuts. At one time, Keith, the KO kid, was a very respected sports journalist and a broadcaster, but he's idiosyncratic to a point where he's become wildly eccentric. I mean, the guy that he used to be and now, it kind of mirrors Howard Stern to a certain degree, although Howard's done a complete 180. And yeah, people do not know how to divorce their own feelings from a particular issue, like the vaccine or who you voted for, in terms of rooting for an athlete or a team. And I don't think it's necessarily a healthy trend, but people now cannot separate sports and politics from one another.
Steve Kim is with us. All right. On the field, or at least at a game, I saw you. I don't know. Did you write? Yeah, you wrote this one. It was Candle SoFi Stick Stadium. What do you make of? I mean, this is commentary on L.A., but I got to tell you, the Niners and their crowds in all these cities, they have become the best fan base in all of football. And, you know, L.A.'s still not that into the Rams or the Chargers.
Well, you mean the Red Sea. You mean the Gold Rush. And so,
yes.
Here's the thing, though, Steve. I've lived in L.A. my whole life, and I was a diehard Ram fan growing up as a kid, going all the way to the Dickerson era, Jim Everett, until they moved in 1994. So, and that's the same year that the Raiders moved again. So we were a market out here for 20 years. We did not have National Football League in terms of a franchise, but we watched the game. We're a very transient city to begin with. But, Mark, I can honestly tell you this. By about the third or fourth year, when the Rams and Raiders had left town, our lives had moved on. Honestly, we enjoyed football. We liked USC, UCLA. There was a lot of other entertainment and sports options. But I can honestly tell you, I never felt that we missed the NFL the way, let's say, of Green Bay or Buffalo. If they had their franchises ripped for them, it would almost be like a funeral 365 days of the year. Our city's a little bit different, and we moved on. And when we got our franchises back, or at least one of them, and then we got the Chargers in, 2016, it was nice. But I didn't get the sense it was that much of a big deal. So think about it, guys. You can't lose 20 years of a market where fans locally might develop other loyalties and then be surprised by what happens. And I don't know if we're ever going to really truly get the city back, especially when it comes to the Chargers. Because, guys, I can tell you this, most of the city still looks at that team as San Diego's franchise.
Hey, last one. I really have 20 seconds left. Crawford-Spence rematch, 147, 154, what the heck's happening?
It could be neither, because what I'm hearing is that Crawford wants it at 47 as per the agreement. As the winner, he gets to choose the weight, so there's a good chance it may not happen.
Wow, so the winner in a romp is dictating, some people are saying he's ducking. I don't think he's ducking.
No, he's not ducking, but he's using his leverage after 5 years of frustration. Let's put it that way.
When's the next podcast come out?
We're actually going to be taping it in about 2 hours, and it'll be out by, I believe, Wednesday.
Beautiful. Steve, you're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is. Steve Kim, 3 Knockdown Rule. Primarily a fight guy, but has opinions on everything, and that's a great fight podcast along with Mario Lopez.